I want to talk to you about fasting. Interesting topic. I wanted to just cover this. And the reason I wanted to cover this is I've just been stirring up in my heart. The Lord's been stirring things up in my heart. As I know, I've had a little bit of clarity on feel God is on the move, and I know that miracles and signs and wonders is who He is. And I believe, and we started hearing a little bit about some little miracles happening in your life or in your family, and if someone can, maybe my wife can help me, or somebody, we could get something together where we can start putting on paper or a bulletin board some miracles that are beginning to happen. Because I believe that God is on the move, and that He's a God of signs and wonders, and he's preparing us for signs and wonders, for a move of God. And it's just something He's been stirring up in my heart. I've been serving the Lord a long time, and it's just a time and a moment. And one thing I've been telling the leaders is, just because God begins to move or do something supernaturally doesn't mean that you are awesome. Very important. Doesn't mean that you got it all together and you are awesome and you are perfect. If God only moved with perfect people, He would never move. So He can't wait for that. He's not waiting for us to be perfect. Amen? He's not waiting for us to be perfect. And there's a timing of God. And in the month of September and October, I'm going to do a series about when God moves. And a little bit of it is understanding the history. There's been moments and times in the United States or in Europe or just in general where God just decided to move in a way that was supernatural, in a way that history has shown. It's in newspapers, and our movement, Foursquare Church, our church is also part of a movement when God moved in 1920s here in the United States. And there's just been moments and times when God just, He needs to move for His bigger picture, His big plan, His kingdom plan. And I'm sorry to tell you, when God begins to move, He uses people like us, but He doesn't need us. Amen? He uses us. He loves to use us, by the way, because He loves us. But He does not need us, right? You know the story. He'll use the donkey if He has to use the donkey. And if you don't cry out, He'll make the rocks cry out. But He moves in times, and when He moves, it's not because you have it all together. That being said, God will not move where He's not welcomed, right? In a sense, we have to have a heart receptive for God. Amen. And that we can't control. That we can't control. We can't. None of us can make ourselves perfect. But what we can control is having a heart and a passion for God. And I just believe in my heart, and I'm said I'll be doing a series in the fall about this when God moves, but I just know in my heart that God's preparing us for movement. God's preparing us for miracles, for signs and wonders, when there's just a time for Him to move. Not because we got it together, but because He's ready to do something. He's ready to move. In a signs and I'm telling you, in a signs and wonders, in a supernatural way, He's ready to move, and it's time for us to pay attention. And whenever you see that miracle, to stop everything and give Him praise and glory for that miracle. As Sister Rose shared last week about an incident that was miraculous and you need to just stop in those instances and give God praise and glory and recognize Him, because, you know, God likes that too. He loves to be glorified and praised. Amen. Right? He's a jealous God. It's right there in the Old Testament, right? He's a good God, a jealous God, but He loves to be praised and worshiped and glorified because He's worthy of that. Amen. So In the next 2 weeks, I wanted to talk about fasting and praying, because one thing that has what God's movements in history, where God has moved and revivals have broken out and signs and wonders have broken out, when these times have happened, there's been a lot of prayer and fasting associated with that. And I think as Christians, we in the United States especially, we get real comfortable. We get real comfortable. You know, what we are in the United States, as far as our standard of living, is greater than, you know, 90, it's in the 95th percentile of all the world. In other words, in all the world, there's only 5 to 10% people that live in the situation that our neediest people in this country are rich in all the other rest of the world. It's true. But I think God is getting a hold of us as Christians, and He's preparing us for a move, and we need to be obedient, because those that are obedient are going to see some amazing things. Amen. I really believe that from my heart. You're going to start seeing God really just move. And again, I want to emphasize, not because you're good looking, right? Not because you know how to pray the right way, but that you just have a heart and you're hearing these words and you're like, yeah, I want to be in that movement. I want to be in that kingdom of God timing where He's going to do some supernatural signs and wonders and miraculous things and healings and whatever it is He has planned for His when it's His time to move. So I wanted to take just a moment to talk about fasting with purpose and what it is, what it means. And so if you'll turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, what does Jesus say about fasting? Let's just read that really quick. Matthew chapter 6, verse 16. Jesus teaches about fasting, and this is what He says. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. You know, notice that Jesus didn't say, if you fast. He says, when you fast. Right? When you fast. So Jesus is speaking about fasting in terms of Christians are kind of supposed to fast, right? Not if you ever do get the chance. Christians are supposed to fast and pray and seek Him. It's evident in the New Testament that Christians do this. Now, I want to make a point right here, because sometimes we can get real religious. Fasting is not a condition for salvation. All right? Oh, if you don't fast, you must not be saved. If you've never fasted in your life, you must not be saved. No, 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 no. The Bible is clear. There's only one way. Jesus Christ is the way. And if you believe that He's your Savior and you've accepted that and you decide to live for Him, then you're saved, right? According to Scripture. Amen. In your heart. You believe that in your heart. You receive that. You are saved. Now, so fasting is not a condition for salvation, just like going to church doesn't save you, this doesn't save you. It's a real relationship with Jesus Christ that saves us, right? Let's keep that real simple. But faith without works is dead. So when you get saved and when you accept Jesus Christ as Savior, all of a sudden something starts stirring up in your heart, like, I need to get baptized. Like, I need to start praying more. I need to read my... Something begins to move in your heart where you... Some certain actions need to start taking place as Christians. Things start happening. So, though fasting is not a condition for salvation, I believe it is something that, as Christians, we have... in obedience to God, we'll take time to fast and pray in order for different reasons. And I want to go through some of those reasons with you today and the importance of fasting and praying. So fasting is no condition for salvation, but when you are saved, then you begin to have a passion to see God move and to get God's attention, right? Like a child tugging on their dad's, you know, pant leg. I want your attention. And fasting is a form of that. Like you telling God, I want your attention, God. Come listen. I need you to hear me. I need you to. And it's a form of that. And we're going to get into some of the reasons why people fast. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 14, let's read that real quick. Matthew chapter 17, verse 14 through 21. Oh, 17. So the disciples, and I'll summarize the story for you. The disciples come back to Jesus and say, hey, we tried to cast out this dark spirit, this evil spirit, and we couldn't. And Jesus says, oh, you guys of little faith, how long do I have to be with you? And he starts telling them, you know, here, let me show you something. And he says there in verse 20, and he said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you shall say unto the mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. And that was Jesus reminding the disciples, I just need you to believe. Just need you to believe that all things are possible. Church, we need to just believe that all things are possible. No matter what you see with your eyes, no matter what the circumstances are saying right now, all things are possible. It's scriptural. It is His character. It's who God is. And when doubt starts creeping in, then the enemy starts using that doubt to reduce our faith. So don't let the enemy do that. All things are possible. Howbeit, this kind, the casting out of these evil spirits, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. So Jesus mentions fasting again. And Jesus makes it clear that spiritual warfare against darkness requires a sacrifice of fasting and praying. Right? It's right there where Jesus is saying, this kind of stuff, you know, you need to be prepared. You need to be praying and fasting. And so Jesus talks about fasting in those two ways. First, he says, when you fast, make sure you don't do it publicly. Right? Don't do it publicly. It says there in your notes, it's not a show or a trophy to wear. When you fast, you don't go around and, everybody, I'm fasting right now, everyone. I want you to know, because I am awesome, and only awesome people fast. So I want you to know that I am fasting right now, and God's going to move because I'm fasting. That's why God's going to move. See, Jesus made it very clear that fasting is a personal, intimate, between you and God thing, right? And maybe your wife, spouse, and yeah, because you're one, right? You can, yeah. That, you know, I've been asked about that. Because when I fast, should I even tell my spouse? I was like, you know what? You ask God that question. I don't want to get in the middle of your marriage there. But normally, you do need to share with your spouse what's going on because they want to, well, I'm going to pick you up something up for dinner or what? Yeah, you have to be in communication, right? So don't take it to the extreme and I can't even tell my wife that I'm going to be fasting or my husband because that's sin according to Jesus. Right? No, you're one, right? So that's okay. You can tell each other about it. But you get the idea. It's a personal thing. And you know, if you're a spouse and your spouse telling you I'm fasting for something, I'm believing God, you know, the spouse don't go out and tell all your friends, yeah, my husband, he's fasting all season. He's fasting right now, yeah, yeah. See, because that's the whole point, right? Jesus is saying, this is not about trophy or about looking good or looking strong. This is about just you and God. In secret, it says, right there, it says, Jesus says, in secret, do it, and God will reward you openly. Amen? Amen. So the following are seven circumstances in the Bible in which believers sought God through fasting. So these are situations in the Bible where the word fasting came up and they were saying, this is why we're fasting. Let's go through them. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 4, we know the story where Jesus goes 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness fasting and praying before he began his work here on earth. He needed time alone to prepare for what his father had called him to do. There are moments in your life that you may just be, Lord, I need clarity. I need direction. I need to know you are with me right now. And that is a good reason to fast. Like, Lord, I just need some clarity. I'm going to spend some time fasting and praying. Before I go any further, let me talk a little bit about fasting and praying. How you do it is really not important. It's all about the heart. It's all about the intent of the heart. For example, somebody may not consider a real fast if you don't fast the whole day. Somebody may say, no, it has to be the whole day or it's not real. You just skip the meal. Right? Or some people, say it's got to be both food and water or something. There is no instruction exactly on how to fast in scriptures. There's situations. So my advice and direction as pastor to you when you're, I need to fast anymore, and you're thinking about this in your life, is there's no right or wrong answer. It's all about your heart. There's some of you that if you skip one meal, it's a major sacrifice. Amen? Have you ever skipped a meal and you're so hungry and you get frustrated, you better start? Okay, then you probably need to fast one meal. And you start small, right? There's some that could skip a meal and this doesn't affect them. Well, that may not really be a sacrifice for you. So what I'm trying to say is it's between you and God and your heart. It's not between, like, I got to do it this way. No, you just do it. Be honest with yourself about it. So, I would recommend if you've never done it before and you're like, okay, I need to fast and pray to prepare for and want God to do this and give me clarity or whatever it may be, I would suggest that a meal that you normally have, that you skip that one meal and pray during that time and then end it when you're going to eat your next meal. I would suggest you start small and you just set your heart right on that. Now, that being said, if you never eat breakfast, don't fast breakfast. See, it's all about the heart. You can't say, I'm going to fast breakfast. Yeah, that's awesome. You've never had breakfast. That is not a sacrifice. Amen? So it's about the heart, and it is about a sacrifice. Amen? Amen? So Jesus was getting ready for the ministry, and he goes out, and you know the story, right? He encounters the enemy. He's fasting and praying, and the enemy starts tempting him, and Jesus was prepared. So there's a time to fast and pray to prepare for ministry, to prepare for what Jesus was going to be sent out to do. There's going to be a point in your life where you need to fast and pray in preparation for that anointing, for that ministry, for that plan that God has for your life. Now remember, ministry does not mean being a pastor, right? Ministry only means service. So ministry is not pastors and leaders. You may be called to have this calling to help in this area, and it's not a leadership area. That is a ministry. That is a calling. You could fast for that in your life so that you'll have an anointing and God will be with you. So number two, another reason, to seek God's wisdom. Sometimes you just need help understanding something that you're confused about. Fast and ask God, Lord, give me some clarity on this. Give me some wisdom on this. So that's another reason. In Acts chapter 14:23, Paul and Barnabas prayed and fasted for the elders of the church before committing them to the Lord for his service. So in Acts 14:23, the church was being persecuted really, really hard. And they prayed for some elders, and then they just fasted and prayed for them so that they would have wisdom in their ministry, in their elder calling. In Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 1 through 4, another time to fast is when we're in grief. Sometimes when we're in grief and we just are in a bad place, fasting and praying during that is also something that can help us to get better in tune with God in those situations. Nehemiah mourned, fasted, and he prayed when he learned that Jerusalem walls had been broken down. So the walls came down, the temple was rent, and Nehemiah fasted and prayed in mourning. Another thing, number four, you can fast and pray to seek breakthrough and a deliverance or protection. In Ezra chapter 8, Ezra declared a corporate fast and prayed for a safe journey for the Israelites as they made a 900-mile trek to Jerusalem from Babylon to see protection. Lord, I want... Here's a good one for family Nelda and Raymond that are sending Marky off. Fast and pray for protection, right? For deliverance for Marky. And we should all be in prayer for him. So to seek breakthroughs in deliverance and protection, and also breakthroughs in the spirit realm. You know, when Jesus said in Matthew chapter 17, verse 21, he said, these kind of things come through but fasting and praying. You know, spiritual darkness breakthroughs, whenever there's spiritual darkness, then you just need a breakthrough. Fasting is a good way to pray through that, to fast and pray through that. To show repentance, in Jonah chapter 3, verse 5, you know the story of Jonah. He went in the well, belly of the well. He didn't want to go. He eventually went to Nineveh, and Jonah did preach the word of God, and to his surprise... or maybe not to his surprise. That's another sermon. But they repented. Nineveh repented. And they, when they repented, they fasted. And they prayed. You know, sometimes we just need to repent. You know, one of those real repents, like crying and sorry. Like, not sorry I got caught, but sorry, Lord, I let you down. Or sorry, Lord, I drifted away. And maybe fasting, just in recognizing that, fasting and praying in repentance is also a time to fast. To gain victory and to take the land, in Judges 20:26, after losing 40,000 men in battle in 2 days, the Israelites cried out to God for help. They fasted and they prayed, and the next day the Lord gave them the victory over the Benjamites. When we need to take the land, we need a victory in our lives. It's a good time to fast and to pray. Fast and to pray. And then the last one there, just sometimes, just because you love God. I don't want anything, Lord. I'm not asking for anything right now. I'm just going to fast and sacrifice because you're just awesome. Ooh, I like that one. He's going to like that one too. Just because he's awesome. There's a story in Luke chapter 2, verse 37, where Anna, the prophetess, Anna, served the Lord by fasting and praying. She just did it because she just loved God. And she was able to witness Jesus, you know, before she went on to be with God. She got to see the Messiah. And that was her reward, you know, for that, because she just fasted because she loved God. Pastor's thoughts on fasting. I'm going to close with this because we got to have a special event at the end of the service today. Pastor's thoughts on fasting. Fasting is much needed discipline in the life of a Christian believer, especially in these days. You know, we kind of walk away from this. We're such a blessed people, a blessed country. But I believe that God wants to move, and I believe that God's getting our attention. Start praying and fasting in ways that you have not in the past. Because when God moves, He's gonna move in people that are prepared to handle His move. Because, you know, if you're not prepared for the move, you get run over. Right? You do. That's a whole other lesson. We'll talk in another week. Fasting prepares you to do the work of God that God has called you to do. So don't resist the suffering that accompanies fasting. Rejoice in it. Fasting is a spiritual exercise which God honors. As you empty yourself physically and spiritually, you open the door for God to step in and do the miraculous. You also become more sensitive to the work of the Holy Spirit, which enables you to hear God's voice more clearly. I found that to be really, really true in fasting and praying. You know, clarity and just vision, it helps with that as well. No, fasting is not a condition to salvation. I already said that, but that's important to reemphasize in closing. Fasting is a statement of faith. Fasting is a statement of faith. If you didn't believe God's going to do something when you fast and pray, you wouldn't fast and pray. But when you believe, it's a statement of faith. So why? Why am I talking about this now? You need to look at your life and your heart and like, do I need to fast? What do I need God? Do I need God to bring clarity? Do I need God to break this bondage? Do I need God to take this land or for this to happen or for that to happen? And I want to just encourage you as a pastor, start praying about fasting and praying and start slow, like I said, but start preparing your heart to act on God's word. It is not fasting itself. I'm going to end with this thought. It is not fasting itself that brings a move of God or gets God's attention. It's not the act of fasting. It is the fact that when you fast, you are actually putting these principles into place. You're putting faith, you're putting humility, you're putting sacrifice, you're putting honor and reverence to God. You're putting those things into action. And that's what moves the hand of God. So fasting itself, the act, is not even what's important. It's the fact that you're operating in faith and belief and honoring God. So I encourage you, find some time in the next few weeks, months, and pray, and you'll start seeing these miracles. You'll start seeing God's hand move. You'll start seeing God make a way where there seems to be no way. Amen? Amen. I'm excited. I believe God's setting a foundation. Next week, we want to talk about praying with purpose. And then we'll get into our series about a move of God. But at this time, let's just pray. And then we're gonna close with a water baptism today, which is awesome for all of us to witness and experience. And Bianca, is she here? You want to go ahead and get yourself, and Aloy, get yourself ready? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, that you count us worthy to be part of your kingdom. That as sinful as we are, as you washed us in your blood and we're set free from sin and bondage. And I thank you, Lord, that we have a way to come to you. And now that we've accepted you as our Savior, and now that we know that you care, you love us, and you hear us, and by faith you can do amazing things, we can also do certain things to sacrifice, to give you honor, praise, and glory. And fasting is one of those things. And I pray that you seal that in our hearts today. And Lord, that when we begin to move forward and believe by faith, that when we fast, that you move. Help us to be obedient to your word and not to make that a show. And not to try to bring glory to ourselves. But to do things in secret, because your word is clear, that you will reward us openly. And so, Lord, as Christians, we want to move forward in these concepts, in these principles, so that when you move, we're ready to help others, to lead others, to guide others, to be the laborers that you envisioned when you looked out to the multitudes and wept and said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. But Lord, here we are. Count us as your laborers. And we fast and we pray in preparation for the great harvest. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Give them a clap off.